than murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, here we go. It's the first official Purple Friday preview of the season, except we're giving it to you a day early. So celebrate Friday Junior or Friday Eve, the Purple Friday Eve show, because we're coming to you on a Thursday. Here we go. The Ravens are up against the Broncos. They are back home at the bank in Baltimore. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Baltimore is preparing for a big, heavy Ravens weekend. It is going to be a celebration of Ray Lewis starting on Saturday. The Baltimore City government is going to be they're going to have a fan fest and a parade in Ray Lewis's honor. Ray's going to get presented with his Hall of Fame ring, and then he's going to be at the game on Sunday. Everybody's going to get a commemorative coin that comes in with Ray Lewis on it. He's going to get his ring at halftime. He's going to come out, I'm sure, going to do the squirrel dance to start the game. But man, the Ravens started their season in the Hall of Fame game with Ray Lewis. Now they're going to be with Ray Lewis again at M&T Bank. Man, this is going to be a big Ray Lewis weekend here in Baltimore.
You couldn't have started any better, man. And I don't know where to begin. I'm fired up, as you know. It's just, I'm almost like, can Friday and Saturday get here? Because I'm just chomping a bit to get to this Purple Friday, to get to the parade on Saturday, to get to the game on Sunday. It's going to be glorious, man. A celebration. And people have been coming up to me and they're like, Josh, I didn't know that this would be such a big thing because they didn't do this for Ogden. You know, but yeah, Ogden was the first ever draft pick, one of the cornerstones of the franchise. But be honest with you, he doesn't have a statue out front, and he's just not on Ray's level. So, and we just know Ray just head and shoulders above the rest. You know, not to edify him over anybody else in the organization, but let's be real here. He is the franchise. I mean, when your statue's out front next to Johnny U, that's kind of a legacy, man. And he just moves people. He moved everybody in the stadium with his dance. He's Ray. And it's going to be a celebration like none other. It's going to be fantastic.
And it's funny you said he's head and shoulders above the rest because they're bringing Ray Lewis's head to Ravenswalk. That's right. The bust from the Hall of Fame will be in attendance. And starting at 10 a.m., you can get
How do they even get that? Because I was there in August, and it was residing in the Hall of Fame. So when Ray just goes to the Hall and goes, you know what? I'm taking this on to with me down to Baltimore. I think that's pretty cool, and I would be hard-pressed to see if any player's done that ever because I would love to find that out. Or if Ray's – because apparently this is a first, okay? Now, if that's a first, this is unprecedented because Ray was the first one to get out behind the podium, if I recall, and use a wireless mic, okay, and, like, get to walk around and be animated. So if this is the first time that after the induction a bus gets to actually leave the Hall of Fame and come to a celebration, dude, man, he can pull some weight.
Yeah, I guess you just don't tell Ray Lewis no.
He's going to do what he's going to do. It's Ray.
That's right.
He's earned it.
If you are going to be at Ravenswalk, you can get a picture with the bus starting at 10 a.m. I don't know if this is going to be like the Stanley Cup because I stood in line for 6.5 hours to get my picture with the Stanley Cup. Hopefully this is a little bit more organized at Ravenswalk. I think it will be. But he's going to be on the field for the game. His bust is going to be at Ravenswalk in the morning. He's going to have a parade on Saturday. If you are local here, the parade begins at 10 a.m. on Saturday at Key Highway and Light Street. and then we'll head north on Light Street to Pratt Street, go right onto Pratt, and then left onto Commerce Street, and then the parade ends at City Hall, and there will be a fan fest and remarks by Ray and the mayor, Catherine Pugh, as well.
So let me ask you about that, because obviously I'm going. Are you going, Brandon, or are you not brave enough?
I plan to go. Yeah, absolutely.
You want to go? Well, let's talk off the air about linking up, because I got a plan. But I want to ask you your plan, because I'm trying to figure out something here. I'm trying to figure out if we should start where the parade starts and go with the whole caravan and then end, or plant at City Hall and wait for the arrival of everybody. I don't know how to – I mean, I've never been – I was at the parade. I mean, I've been a part of some parades. I was at the Super Bowl the parade, the whole celebration for that. But I was inside a stadium, and I waited until the parade came to me. So what is your best take on this? How should we approach that?
I mean, if you're planning to take photos and that kind of stuff, I think you go on the parade route. If you want to go and see Poe and cheerleaders and get some free stuff, and maybe if you've got kids and you want to entertain those kids, you go to the fan fest. That's what I'm thinking.
Gotcha. So if it's just the adults, you're talking about start at Lake Street where it is and just follow the whole thing through.
I mean, if you want to walk it, I don't know if this is going to be like a Pied Piper situation. It may be like you're on the sidewalk waving to Ray, and when he passes you, you're done.
That's what I don't know, because that's what I didn't like about the Super Bowl. I wanted to be where it ended, so I'm like, I'm just going to park and go straight to City. That was my thing, just go straight to City Hall and just go there, I guess, at 10 a.m. and wait for the arrival, because you know how it was with the Super Bowl parade. You're right. If you're lining the streets and, like, and I talked to people who went to the championship parade in Philly, you know, and then the people who went for the Capitals downtown. So it was like, you're right. You know, when they do these parades, once they pass you by, it's like, it's almost like, it's funny. It's like I equate it to, like, I know it's not the same, but it's like funny how I see people when they go to a golf mat or a golf tournament and try to follow the player. It's like, okay, but when they're done that hole, they just follow them the whole way through and they just get going. So it's like, I feel like I want to wait to the end, because then Ray's going to speak and they're going to do all that. So I feel like instead of wasting all that time walking around, I mean, Ray's going to be waving. That's cool. But I want to hear it. You know, I want to actually be, you know, part of that, I guess, kind of called fan fest at City Hall and hear him speak and what he has to say. It's going to be great. So we'll definitely talk about it. But it's just intriguing, like, with these parades, how people plan these things and what they get to do.
Yeah, I mean, I did, like, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade a couple years ago.
Wow.
And I mean, that was...
What's next, New Year's Eve in Times Square?
I will do that if I have, like, a private party that's indoors. I'm not standing outside at, like, you know, 8 in the morning until midnight with a spot.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not doing that. You give me, like, you know, a place to...
You stood in line for the Stanley Cup for 6 hours, man.
I did do that, but, you
You're
know.
Insane. But, hey, it's a Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
If I had an opportunity to pick up and touch the Super Bowl trophies, I'd do it for the Ravens trophies. So don't get put it. I'll stand there 10 hours.
Right. As a hockey fan, I yes, it was really annoying to wait 6.5 hours, but I kissed the real Stanley Cup. So that is something that'll never be taken away from me. And not a lot of people can say that they got to kiss the Stanley Cup, but I did.
Hear that, ladies? He kissed the cup.
That's right. I kissed the cup.
You got some competition.
But, like, when I was at the Macy's Parade, you picked a spot. You got there at, like, 5 a.m. We were in Times Square. You picked a spot up against the railing, and then you just stood there as the parade passed you by. And once we saw Santa at the end of the parade, we went back inside. So I think that's going to kind of be it. I think Ray Lewis is this version's Santa. And once he waves to you.
Santa, I know him.
I think that's pretty much it. So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be kind of intriguing. I know WJZ is airing it locally here in Baltimore, so if you aren't going, you can at least watch it on TV. But I kind of feel like Ray's going to be like a Pied Piper, and, you know, once people start passing him, they're going to follow him to City Hall. That's what I think. So it'll be very, very intriguing. But let's talk about this Ravens Broncos game. We actually, besides Ray Lewis coming into town, we have
actual football game to be playing.
Right, there's an actual game we have to talk about.
We're at Hall of Fame weekend again.
So the Ravens are coming off an extended break. You know, they played last Thursday up against Cincinnati. Didn't have a good showing there, and the Broncos are coming off right now. They're undefeated. They are 2-0 against wins over Seattle and Oakland. For the Ravens, there's been some names that did not practice this week. We're not going to expect them in the game. Of course, Hayden Hurst and Willie Henry, they will not be playing. They did not practice at all. C.J. Mosley did not practice on Wednesday. It's still up in the air whether or not he's going to play. I'm going to lean towards we don't see C.J. Mosley out there. But then there's two other names on the did not practice list for Wednesday, and that's Alex Collins and Michael Pierce for undisclosed reasons. I'm hoping those two are just, you know, maybe they're banged up and they just need a day of rest, and it's not something too crazy, because Alex Collins, I mean, he's our number one guy. If he's hurt, we have Buck Allen, but then Ken Dixon is hurt. So, I mean, we're very thin at running back. If it turns out Alex Collins can't play this weekend, what does that do to this offense?
Well, it turns it into that run and gun finesse approach. I mean, when you review Alex Collins, he's that ground and pound running back. He's not the, you know, he's not the Alvin Kamara's and the Saquon Barkley's and et cetera of the league, where you're going to chuck it up and they're going to put up 6 to 8 receptions for your team and outdo some of your receivers. You know, Alex Collins is that, you know, he's the starter. He's a true starter. He's the ground and pound. Javoris Allen is that change of pace back. He's that throw it out in the flat, let me run it open space with it. Buck Allen is not. See, and I've seen time and time again where this frustrates me, and I'm glad you brought this up, because how many times I see the Ravens line it up on the goal-to-go situation, and especially when it's 2 or 1 yard out, and they try to hand it in the inside with Buck Allen. I'm like, no, no, no. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I need to, like, jump through the TV so they can hear me, because I'm like, that's not smart. You know, again, you know, when I always talk about putting the players in the best position to win and maximize the talent, what the heck are you doing running Buck Allen, who's really tiny, and all there? It's not going to work. That's Alex Collins' territory. So I feel like if Alex Collins is a no-go, whatever this undisclosed reason is, I've yet to find it out. I've been doing some digging, can't find it out on either him or Pierce. Undisclosed, I'm assuming it's something minor, could be sickness. I just don't know why the NFL has it undisclosed, because if it was something minor, if they were sick, they would say it.
Right. So, well, like, we know Alex Collins has an issue with migraines. He gets to wear that special tinted visor.
Exactly. So it could be something like that, and they just don't want to release it, or right, that's the way they classify it. But if he's a no-go, it's going to completely change the game plan. But it's going to be interesting, because the Broncos' front line, especially the linebacker, they got Von Miller, the rusher, they got Chubb as a rookie this year. So they got some pretty good rushers, but they're secondary suspects. So I feel like this is going to be another error attack for the Ravens. But the running game, you got to run and set the pass, and the running game was very lacking in Cincinnati. Again, I know being down 21, that changes a lot of things, because you're winging the ball left and right, because you got to make up for that. And that's the best way to do it. But besides the point, yeah, if they're thin running back without Collins, it's going to be a rough go, man.
Yeah, that's definitely worrisome. And the other thing is, if you don't have Alex Collins, that means you need a healthy offensive line to give Joe some time to let things develop, and so he can get to his wide receivers. And we've seen, you know, John Brown absolutely look fantastic in the first two games. But we need that offensive line to let Joe have time in the pocket. And even though he was practicing, you know, we were talking last episode about Ronnie Stanley. And Ronnie Stanley, like I said, is one of my favorites, but he had a terrible game last Thursday against Cincinnati, and he was actually seen practicing with a brace on his arm. So it seems as if he has some sort of nagging injury. I don't know if it happened in the game or before the game, but it looks like Ronnie Stanley will not be at 100% this weekend.
No, he won't, and that's very worrisome, because the matter of fact is, a line is very important right now, and it's just going to get worse if we're down Stanley, and the Broncos would attack right there, whether he goes in somewhat healthy and a little bit banged up, or the void's completely gone. We're already tough go with everybody there, and I'm not pleased right now with some of the play with James Hurst and all that, so I think it just magnifies it even worse. It's just, with Ronnie Stanley being already banged up, that's a big concern for me, because the line is the number one concern right now for me, man. I mean, dude, they got trounced in the line on Thursday night. Again, you know, we can chalk it up for what it is. Short week, it is what, you know, because they look so good against the Bills, but the Bills are the Bills. So, you know, and now I'm seeing that, to where, you know, I'm kind of And I'll be honest with you, I'm humble. I'm eating my words a little bit because I was like, oh, no, the Bills are still a professional team. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the Bills would beat any college team out there. I'm not going to go as far as to say, like, Bama or Ohio State would beat them. But the fact remains is they just got manhandled with the line and being depleted, dude. It's going to be a long day.
It is. And the Broncos, like I said, they are undefeated right now. 2-0 this season against Seattle and Oakland. Is this a real test for Denver here? Because Oakland hasn't had the greatest showing at the beginning of the year so far. And Denver barely got away with that game this past Sunday. Is this a bigger test for Baltimore or a bigger test for Denver coming into Baltimore?
It's bigger test for, I mean, I'm going to say Baltimore because of what happened on Thursday. I mean, I would have to go back to the film on how I know Denver's 2-0. You know, they played some gritty games over the past 2 weeks. But you know, the Ravens did have the long break here with that mini bye week because they played a short week on the road. But the way they just got handled on the line and how glaring that was and Joe Flacco running for his life, I feel like right now that would be on the Ravens right now for the pressure and to step up and perform, because especially for any home crowd, I know Ray's going to be there. It's going to be energizing. It's going to be nuts. But at the end of the day, man, a quarterback, running back, you always hear it. You know, Emmitt Smith can attest to that. He said it before in his career, and yeah, you know, and he thanked Moose Johnson in his speech. You know, his fullback, and he's always said, like, and how Zeke in his rookie year, he had that great offensive line. You know, your running back and quarterback are only as good as your line, because again, it's domino effect. You hike the ball. If your line's blocking, Joe Flacco has time to look, do his reads, look what happened against the Bills. He has time. It's a clean pocket. He gets time. He throws it, and the receivers run their routes, and it's all about timing. Everything's about timing in the NFL, especially when I saw the game on Monday night, Seahawks and Bears. If you get a chance to watch, Brandon, it was the same situation. Russell Wilson in Seattle has no line. He's running for his life. He's fearing for his life, and he just has no time. He can't get it to him. And it's just every snap, and even like the commentators on ESPN for Monday Football were saying, like, especially like Russell Wilson, it was third down, he was getting blitzed heavy, and as a quarterback, he's like, you have to have that internal clock. 1, 2, 3, you got to get the ball out because somebody's going to be in my wheelhouse, and these quarterbacks are holding on, including Flacco a lot of times, holds on to the ball too long, and that's one of his downfalls. And this is why we always get on his case and say, come on, Joe, because it's like, dude, you know, you got to know the third down, they're coming for you, dude. And this is where we get frustrated, because it's, and I've said it all the time, is you've seen the Bengals do it. You wonder why our blitz is always ineffective. Is love or hate the, you know, love to hate them now because they're our division opponent. But Andy Dalton and that offense, no matter what, this is why they're so good against us, because no matter what the Ravens do as far as blitzing, and you're wondering why we can't get to Dalton. And it wasn't it like the defensive line was overpowered by their offensive line. It's if you watch the Bengals on specific blitzes, they call plays, and it's these quick dick and dunks. That's what make Brady and Manning so good over the years, because they are always these quick throws. And then the receivers are, and tight ends and running backs are always getting yards after catch because they made the plays up the field. They turn and run upfield, and it's just, that just creates a good formula. But when you're under duress, Brandon, dude, it's a rough go. I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, pick one. You know, they're going to be under duress all day. It's going to be a long day for them, and the pressure's on for the Ravens line, man.
That's right. And even though I think this wide receiver core is going to do great on Sunday, the tight ends are also going to be a huge part of this offense. And again, we don't have Hayden Hurst out there, but man, what a two games still just two games. But Mark Andrews, he has looked everything except for being a rookie. He's looked absolutely fantastic. I've loved what I've seen from him so far, and I kind of feel like this game coming up really could be like his coming out party of, like, I am the real deal. I'm the guy that you can count on in this tight end core. This guy seems like he really could be the future of the tight end position.
Absolutely, and I really love what he's brought to the table so far at the position. And especially with Hayden Hurst being out for these few weeks. And I'm
and just
really excited.
Think about when Hayden Hurst comes back and these two are playing together. Man, that tight end core gets even better than it's already looked now.
Well, it gets even better, but also stronger and deeper. So, and I'm interested to see what Hayden Hurst can also bring to the table. But, dude, Andrews has stepped up. Nick Boyle did well in the first game. Andrews in that second game against the Bengals. And that tight end, as we know, is always that security blanket across the middle. And I feel like if the seam is wide open in the middle, please chuck it up to these guys, man, because they're going to have a heavy workload.
That's right. Now, let's go and talk a little bit about the Ravens' defense. Like we said, C.J. Mosley, all signs point to him not playing this Sunday due to a bone bruise. Who's going to be the guy, or maybe the pair of guys, to step up and replace C.J. Mosley?
Roman Reigns.
he's the big dog.
The guy. What was that?
So who do you see stepping up and maybe not taking his spot, but filling in that void? Because after C.J. Mosley was out of the game on Thursday, the defense looked lost, didn't know what they were doing. It wasn't until Eric Weddle got the helmet with the microphone in it, the things actually start to make a little bit more sense again. So who's going to be the leader of this defense without C.J. Mosley there?
Well, you know, this is why Ray's coming back, just for the specific purpose.
This is perfect timing on his part,
perfect
really.
Perfect timing. Say enter Ray. No, it's actually going to be two guys, Nick Young and Albert McClellan, who was just signed. You know, Ravens caught him, but what better way to bring back a guy who's familiar with that and the scheme and the defense, bring back an old familiar face in Albert McClellan, so welcome him back to the squad. And yeah, it's going to be a heavy dose of Nick Young. Suggs this week was actually singing Nick Young's praises, and a lot of local media are high on this guy, and including myself. I really love what this guy can bring so far in his rookie year. It's great. He's just been a great addition. I'm really excited to see what we can do, and I think they're going to see them interchanged out. But both these guys are going to provide some depth at that position.
Now we have Case Keenum, who is the quarterback for the Denver Broncos. How does this guy pair up to the Ravens defense? Is Suggs going to have one of his like spectacular highlight reel games against a quarterback like Keenum?
Well, as far as the games went, or the game I should say went in Ravens' favor on the line against the Bills, Suggs' career game, he's going to have a game. I don't know about a career game. One of his best games was on a Thanksgiving night game against the Niners years ago. One of his best games, multi-sack game. But he's going to have a great day, and here's why. Because we've seen this guy before, different team, different scheme, but same quarterback. We were playing them, and I was there in person, saw it in Minnesota. You know, Case Keenum was the quarterback of the NFC championship representative of one of the two teams there who made it. And he had some weapons there at his disposal, and he still does here in Denver. So at that point, it's going to become, you know, what Case Keenum tendencies does he still do? And that's all the Ravens are going to be focusing on, because the schemes in Denver obviously changed. You got different personnel, you know, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. They got the running backs who can really ball out. You got Royce Freeman right now, the rookie, and Phillip Lindsay, who took over some of their timeshare there and up and coming. So you know, they got some talent there. So, and I think Case Keenum, I don't want to go as far as to say he has a long day at the office awaiting him, but tough test. They're coming across country from the mountains and never, you know, on the road to Baltimore. But hey, it's definitely better than what the last time the Ravens faced the Broncos was a Peyton Manning under center. So I feel a little bit better this time around. But Case, again, he beat us with the Minnesota team. He fielded out there with that offense. And I felt like the Ravens were in that ball game. I mean, Case is that middle of the road quarterback. He's not a Phillip Rivers out there winging the ball around. He's not, he's not a Roethlisberger. He's not Aaron Rodgers, not Tom Brady. So I feel like, and he's sure not a Pat Mahomes who's on fire as well as Fitzmagic. But in the same regard, the Ravens are going to have a tough time, because if they can't put the pressure on him and Denver stops our pass rush and they call the plays to get it out, he's going to look great. And it's going to be very frustrating for the defense, especially us as fans.
Now, As we know, Jimmy Smith is still not on the field. He is still suspended. This is game 3 of 4, so he'll be back after the Steelers game. But what we saw against Cincinnati was how much this team really is missing Jimmy Smith not being on the field. Tavon Young kind of, you know, got raked through the coals a little bit there and was kind of shown he was the weak spot of this defense. Is Case Keenum and the Denver offense going to be able to do the same thing against the secondary here with Tavon Young there? Are they watching the tape from last week and going, oh, this is the guy that we're going to be going after, that we're going to target whoever this guy's covering? That's who we're throwing it to because we know it'll be clear. Is it?
Yeah,
is that you think what they're going to look at going forward?
Yeah, I mean, if Tavon Young's got a shadow Demaryius Thomas all game, it's going to be a duplicate. You know, Thomas might have 3 touchdowns in the first half. I feel like they might have to go away from something like that. I know it's a void because Smith's a tall, physical corner. And if you're going to have to replace him with a smaller Tavon Young can only do so much. And I just don't know with the depth there. I mean, we thought it was there before, but with the physical corners they should have, it's just – you know, Emmanuel Sanders is small. He's shifty. He's quick. You know, yeah, he's a little bit older than years past, obviously, you know, as far as receiver miles. You know, and he doesn't have Peyton Manning thrown to him. But Demaryius Thomas, these guys can still make plays. And I'm definitely going to be very interested to see how they approach that like they did last Thursday. You know, are they going to put it to him, you know, one-on-one with the Thomas or something like that? Or are they going to play more softer zone with the zone blitz? Really tough to tell, but until we really get to see what the scheme is going to be lining up. But, man, you know, it's going to be a long, long afternoon if we got to put up with what we saw on Thursday where the offense just had its way in the secondary.
Now, if the Ravens are looking at that tape and seeing Tavon Young play the way he was playing, and are the Ravens smart enough to know, like, all right, maybe we shouldn't do man-to-man against Denver? Should we switch it up a little bit? Are they looking at that tape as well and hopefully making adjustments? Do you think that they can do that? Do they have enough defensive players out there that are versatile that they can kind of move around a little bit?
Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them. You know, of course they're smart enough to know. If they're not looking at the film, something's wrong. And I feel like the Ravens are really going to know the weaknesses there, and they're always going to back and study that. And definitely, the team's smart enough, they're going to correct it. And that's what a lot of coaches I hear. You know, whether it's coach speak or not, I hear a lot of coaches are the mistakes we see, they're coachable and correctable. They're not these, like, just mistakes that just keep coming up. I mean, you know, whether it's technique or whether it's, you know, because some of the times Tavon Young either was getting beat, which is just going to be a physical battle. You know, he's going to be outmatched and outmanned out there, so that's just going to happen. You can't coach that, because if Demaryius Thomas is bigger, faster, stronger than Tavon Young, that's going to prevail in the game. And then you have to switch it up. But I feel like a Marlon Humphrey is a way better option there than a Young. Maybe put Young on a – I would do that. You know, I would put Young – if you're going man-to-man, put Young on the Sanders and put Humphrey – I feel like Humphrey's a more physical one gifted there against Thomas.
Now, as of right now, the forecast for Sunday is showers, you know, in and out. It's kind of like a 60% chance of rain. But here's the crazy thing. Week one, it was torrential downpours. Joe was playing fantastic, looked absolutely great. He goes to Cincinnati, a shortened week, plays in, you know, weather that was pretty good, and he didn't really have a great game. So does it actually work out in Joe and Baltimore's favor that it might be a little bit rainy on Sunday when they're playing? Or is that just, you know, it was Buffalo and Joe could do whatever he wanted that game?
Yeah, I think it was Buffalo, and he did whatever he could do. You know, getting tongue tied. He could do anything he wanted to do against that defense, that team. It was just that big of a mismatch, overpowered. But the weather, it's never really affected. Especially I've seen it now with Joe. And you always talk about the AAC North games and the weather and the outdoors. And these quarterbacks are built for it. I mean, Joe Flacco, you know, played in sub-zero temperatures in New England and Denver in the playoffs, you know, and he's played in domes, he's played in warm weather, and I really don't think it affects. I mean, it's funny, from this conversation I remember years back, from a fantasy football perspective, taking this route, it was a snowy day in Chicago, and the the Patriots were playing the Bears in Chicago, and it was snowing, it's like crazy and all that, and it was like, and they called the weather forecast, and I was like, I don't know if I want to, you know, bench Tom Brady and a couple of receivers because they might, this might be a running back. No, it was like a 300-yard, three-touchdown game in the snow showers in Chicago, right on the lake. I mean, I feel like with these kind of quarterbacks, you know, with the cold weather and all that, it doesn't affect these guys. Like Joe said, he just went out there and did his thing. And I feel like, yeah, if it's like if Hurricane Florence came running through and it's 60, 70-mile-an-hour winds and it's the rain and sideways, yeah, it's going to affect the ball a little bit. But a little downpour of rain, it's impressive that these guys are so good at what they do and they can throw the balls and the receivers can make the catches. Yeah, there was some sloppy play, but at the end of the day, you know, Joe had a great day, and you know, and I really think I wouldn't say it bodes well in the Ravens' favor, but in Denver, again, same kind of situation. You know, they're up there in Denver in the mountains, mile high, snowy. You know, it's it could be cold all the time, so it's, you know, they're the same type of team. So I'm really, it's not you getting one of those warm weather climate teams and then coming over here and. You know how that always was a misnomer with Peyton is Peyton plays bad in cold weather because he plays 8 games in a cozy dome up there in Indianapolis, and then he gets out in cold weather and he gets whacked. These quarterbacks can't take it. So, I think the weather, you know, it favors each team in its own regard, and it could be a disadvantage in some areas, but I feel like the weather is going to be non-factor just like it was if that were the case.
Well, we kind of saw over this weekend what warm weather can do to Tom Brady playing in 97 degrees, and man, not a good showing for the New England Patriots.
No, and a loss. They suffered. Hey, Jacksonville, man, give them credit. Their defense shut them down. Gronk had like, what, one or two catches all game, but they almost gave an effort. And if they had the Patriots 21-3 well into the second half, and then here come the Patriots storming back. Tom threw a couple of touchdown passes, but yeah, Jacksonville sitting at 2-0 covering the coverage, and as we alluded to back, you know, covering the game on Sunday where the Patriots did lose that afternoon game. The Browns lost in Browns fashion, as we know, the Steelers. And how about the Steelers, man? You hear all this circus stuff that's going on this week, and I hear the word implosion or imploding has been associated with them amongst the fans and certain types of media. But you got to be loving this and smiling if you're a Ravens fan. You got to be frustrated if you're a Steeler fan and in any regard. But it's never good. I want to ask you about that. In covering this team, and as long as you've been a fan, have you ever seen that kind of dynamic happen on the Ravens where you get those egos and it's – well, I mean, I can't remember the last time or even ever that a Raven player held out of a contract. I know we've used the franchise tag before, but I never had a – we never had a player not show up to camp unless I'm wrong. But I can't remember any specific moment that happened here or this kind of mess where players aren't showing up and they're demanding trade me and whining and this and that. So it's definitely concerning on Pittsburgh's regard, and it's great to see from a fan base perspective.
Yeah, I mean, there have been things with the Ravens before. I mean, if you remember, Terrell Suggs showed up late to training camp in his rookie season for contract purposes.
And now you're reaching.
And yeah, but what, like when he actually did show up, Ray Lewis pied him in the face during an interview and said, "Hey, show up to work next time." So, I mean,
and that, he got that, didn't he?
That was a very short-lived mutiny, if you want to even call it that. And then the only other thing that comes close is the Super Bowl year or the year before when Ed Reed and a couple other players kind of had a mutiny behind closed doors with Coach Harbaugh and didn't like that they were being called to practice on certain times or whatever. But again, they worked it out like a team and were able to get past it. I've never seen, you know, a team do what the Steelers are doing right now. It definitely feels right. Like the coach, Tomlin, has kind of lost the respect of his team. I don't think Harbaugh ever lost the respect of any of his players. I'm sure guys like Ed Reed disagreed with a lot of the things he did, but that respect factor was always there.
Well, right, and I've always said in my and again, I'm not sitting here preaching or in any regard. I mean, people believe what they want to believe, but I've always been one to taught, and I was taught that you respect authority, whoever's in charge. You might disagree with them, but it's, hey, respect the seat of power, respect that. If you don't like it, get out under that power, or like what Brown said, whether it was a serious threat or not, it's like, trade me, you know. It's, you know, if you don't want to play, it's like, I've always said that in my work career, you know. I wouldn't get where, yeah, I get to where I get because of hard work, but I've always really praised my managers up in yearly reviews because I've always said, hey, if it wasn't your guidance and your professionalism and your partnership, it's a team effort. We wouldn't be here. I feed off of that. If you have a good manager and a good boss and a good coach, I guess, you want to play good for them because you want to show good and you reflect them. It's like if Tomlin was a great coach and I played for Coach Tomlin or Coach Harbaugh, whoever, it's, hey, I really like this guy. I want to play hard for him because that's Coach Harbs. That's Tomlin. I want to play. But if you don't respect them, you're going to act like that. You're going to get pushed and you're going to take it not as serious. And again, you know, like Ben said, and I agree, Antonio Brown's probably one of the greatest receivers, and he's definitely probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. Bell, I don't know. I would have to look at his – I mean, he's a great player, but I don't know if he's Hall of Fame caliber. Definitely Ben Roethlisberger. But with these guys, it's just like it's just unsettling because it's like they're without their two best players and I've been saying it all week. You know, apparently Brown was whining he didn't get the ball and make plays, but it's like, Juju Smith-Schuster did. Okay, well, if Juju didn't do what he did and those stats were transferred to Brown, it doesn't change the outcome of the game. So I'm like, what's his beef? It's to me that's like. I don't know. I mean, you already know what – to me, I guess I'm not an all-pro, all-crazy receiver who's got all these stats and could be a Hall of Fame one day. But me knowing sports, man, and you know, you follow sports all your life too. You see it. It's like – I feel like that's individualism. See, me, if I was Antonio Brown, again, putting myself in there, my personality and perspective is I would praise the team and go, hey, Juju had a great day at the office. He's a fellow teammate, fellow receiver of mine. Hey, he's doing what AB usually does. Man, that's awesome. He's another one of me. You know, I'll be great. Even though we lost, I'm excited because, hey, we got other playmakers. But if I feel like he's another Owens, like another Dez, like he huffs and puffs when he's not getting the ball. And I'm like, and I tweeted out this week, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Antonio Brown didn't show up at the Hall of Fame like Terrell Owens did. Because to me, it's the same old song and dance. And I know the Ravens did extend the offer to Bryant, and I've always said that even if we signed him, that was a maturity issue, and that's all past him. Because, I mean, but at the same regard, early in his career, Dez was like that. But then I'll also see this, man. The great players are usually like that, especially with receivers and running back. I feel like when these offensive players, it goes to their head when they're so great, it's they feel like they can do what they want. But I'm like, but I even said it earlier this week, too, with, like, you know, Ray and J.O. and now Reed and Suggs, you know, I never, like you said, you brought up that one little instance in his rookie year, but again, prerequisite, Suggs was a rookie, and Ray, Hall of Famer, he has snapped him right back in line, never did it. Now, you're right. I did hear a lot of instances where, you know, Reed didn't always agree with Harbaugh certain ways. Bernard Pollard was very vocal about that. I remember the whole Bryant McKinney doghouse thing, but you never seen a whole you just never seen it unravel, or you never see players hold out or walk out. I mean, you know, this is in a 2 week span where you had a Bills player basically retire and quit at halftime. You have two Steelers stars whining and complaining. I mean, again, I guess I'm just too grateful, but Le'Veon Bell could have been making $14 million this year running a football up and down the field. I'm like, I don't know about you, man, but I'll take $14 million to go play for Steelers right now. I put that on record. But, I mean, hey, if I'm a Steelers running back and I'm getting paid $14 million to do what I do, I don't know. Again, I'm not. It's the business end of the NFL, which is very, very vicious. But $14 million is a good chunk of change. But I guess these players earn the right to do it. But that's my take. It's just really it's just really funny how, you know, it all unfolds, but in the same regard, man, it's the business end, and we got to put up with it, unfortunately, whether it's the other teams or our team in general. But I'm just happy that our team isn't involved in all that, and we're focusing on trying to win a game on Sunday, not what other players are doing and what they're getting paid.
It's absolutely crazy. I mean, I can't believe what's going on with the Steelers, and we have to deal with them next week. It'll be kind of.
And that's what's even more interesting, because right on the other side of this game on Sunday, it's my two favorite words, Steeler Week. And it's a Sunday night football game, their place. So, boy, so we got to get past the Broncos, but it's going to be. That's why I kind of want to segue a little bit and give a little teaser for next week for the Purple Friday preview and kind of breaking this down. But we're going to keep an eye on this one for next week. But We got the little my little ponies coming this week. We need to take care of them.
All right. So before we get out of here, what's your call? What's going to be the outcome for this Ravens Broncos game on Sunday?
Outcome is going to be Ravens victory.
All right.
It's not going to be a blowout of the Bills regard, but it's going to be a lot closer game, I believe. It's going to be a 2-score game. I'm calling the Ravens by 13 in this one. I feel like the Ravens having the firepower to really get this done, feed off of the crowd, Ray Lewis being there. They've had the 10 days rest. Whoever's banged up and who shows up on Sunday, we'll find out in a few days. But I'm really feeling this one. I'm calling a Ravens a victory here. I'm going to call the score at – see, I'm going to give a good score on this one. How about a good 23-10 score? How's that sound?
That sounds pretty good to me. I'm also calling for the Ravens to win this one. I think it's going to be way closer than that, though. I'm going to say Ravens are winning 17-14. It all comes down to Jay Tuck.
And the best kicker ever, which was a crazy weekend because there was a lot of missed field goals.
That's right. And I think Jay Tuck, he can get it done for us. I think it's going to be a very close game.
He'll chew it up on some Rural Farms coffee. Probably why he gets it done. It's a secret ingredient.
That's right. He goes to the Rural Farm on Key Highway right before he heads to the stadium. Pick up that. He's getting free coffee.
So that's who it was there that one morning.
All right, Josh, before we get out of here, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And you got to like us this time since we're coming out early this week. So make sure you go over and like us there. You never know when we'll do a Facebook Live or post up some cool stuff. I know we got some fantasy football information that went out yesterday in a post. So there's always something going on over at Facebook. So definitely go over there. Facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so much. This was a great, great action-packed show, and I definitely got to take it to Denver. They're coming in undefeated, one of the handful of undefeated teams in the NFL, and we really got to show them. You got to bounce back and really take care of this all-important AFC win. You cannot go down to 1-2, and I feel like it just looks a lot cleaner. It just sounds better. Going 2-1 in Pittsburgh, barring the outcome of Monday Night Football, as the Steelers got they got to travel to Tampa on Monday night and deal with Fitzmagic.
Go against Conor McGregor.
Yeah, pretty much. Conor Jr. is what I'm calling him. It's great. So, hey, if the Buccaneers can rough him up a little bit and they coming back, they got Sunday night contest against us. We still got to, get through Denver. The players are focused up. I'm kind of can't wait to next week. I'm like, I don't want to get this game over with and the festivities and all, but I'm like, as soon as that game ends, I'm like, all right, start posting the Steeler hate propaganda because it's on, but it's going to be fun. But, yeah, you got to get back to sound football, the fundamentals, the blocking and really taking care of Joe in the pocket and Joe getting his reads in the running game, whoever is going to be there healthy. It's going to be Buck Allen going to be starting, who knows. Let's see with Alex Collins, his undisclosed absence from practice this week. We'll get to see more on that as the week progresses. And it's got to be a good showing this weekend because going down to Pittsburgh, especially winning the first contest, dropping 2 in a row, and that's definitely 1-2 in the AFC of all things in conference play. And it doesn't bode well, especially if the Steelers win because and that means it's dire straits. But again, let's see where everything falls. Sunday afternoon, it's going to be fantastic day for football. Ray Lewis celebration all weekend. Ravens celebrate a win on Sunday to cap it off with the Ray celebration. How's that sound? With that being said, let's get the flock together. Party, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.